It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Nation. That's the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with my second-in-command producer Dave and Commander Chris. We are coming to you from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, Oregon. And for all of our affiliates on Barbecue Nation and the Envision Radio Networks, we say hi. You've heard about these folks before because I tell you about them every week. It's the Painted Hills Natural Beef folks. Well, today we have Merton and Glenda Homer, who were the founders and the instigators of Painted Hills Natural Beef. Dolly Parton's going to be our tunes today. And we want to say, part of the show, this top part, is brought to you by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Welcome. It's been a long time since I've seen you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
It's been a while. What possessed you to do this? To start Painted Hills?
Mainly dollars, because on the ranch when we started, you know, calves were like $450 calves bring 80 cents, which was really cheap, and you couldn't make a living at it.
Right.
And you're looking at, we had two boys coming, and they were little guys, but it didn't matter. We were trying to look for a place for them, too. So we went out and said, there's got to be something we can do.
Right.
And so we got a bunch of ranchers got together, and there was about 40 when it started, and then it dwindled down to about 7. And I put some cattle in the feed yard, and I told them they're either in or out. And so they said, okay, let's try it out, and let's see. So that's kind of how we got started.
Did you even, the no hormones, no antibiotics, you started with that too, right off the bat.
We had to have something different than just generic beef, because we couldn't compete with just the generic guy.
Sure.
So we had no hormones, no antibiotics, and that seemed, and we went to the stores and did promotions every week, and the housewife understood this and she liked it. And so once you eat Painted Hills Natural Beef with no hormones, no antibiotics, it takes longer time to feed them, so it gives more flavor to the meat. And so once the housewife tries it once, well, then the flavor brings them back.
Sure. It's brought me back for, 16 years now or something like this. It's been a long time.
Yeah,
it's been a really long time. But how did your other ranchers, your other members, because Painted Hills is basically a co-op, isn't it?
No, well,
sort of, kind of?
Yeah, sort of, kind of. It's really, yeah. And so the other guys, they went to stores and tried to educate the people what we were doing.
Yeah.
Most ranches always don't feed hormones or give the cattle hormones anyway.
Right.
That's the way you naturally raised them. So you're just bringing them to the public without them going and being, because before you sold your cattle to a broker and the broker took the cattle, put them in a feed yard, and they gave them hormones and antibiotics, where we just, our program, we never give them the hormones or the antibiotics.
Yeah, because if you get one that gets sick, you take it out, you treat it, but it goes not in your programming.
It goes in the generic market.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't get rid of them at that point. I mean, we just take them right on into the feed yard, and we tag them, and they go on out, and when they're fat, then they go to the generic market at
yeah.
that point.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of, but you don't put your label on it then.
No, absolutely not.
No, that's the whatever.
Yeah, whatever it goes to.
Yeah, Safeway Select or whatever.
We deal with Tyson Corporation at the processing, big processing plant, so it goes to them. So whatever wherever they got.
But you got your own lot, though, don't you now?
Yes, we actually use 4 lots. We use one in, Walla Walla, right, we have one in Hermiston, one in Vail, and one in Caldwell, Idaho.
Well, that's kind of cool, though, because when you take them from calves, and it's in your facilities under your care, all the way through the process, I mean, not only is that a good thing, but it also gives you probably a pretty good feeling of control over what's going on with the cattle.
Well, what's the best part of it is all 4 lots feed the same feed to all the cattle.
Yeah.
And so when you eat a piece of meat today, it will taste the same as it did a month from now in a different store that holds Painted Hills Natural Beef. It's mm-hmm. all the same. So, and that's what you're looking for, is quality and It all stays the same.
Consistency. Yeah.
And so with us feed the cattle all the same and consistent, they always taste the same. The meat always tastes the same.
Glenda, how tough was it at first? Because I know you guys got in the car, got in the truck, and would take meat to the stores, because I've done demos for you in the past. And, you know, it's a new product. It's a new store. Every store's got its own little quirky, maybe the meat manager is a great guy. Maybe he's a pain in the butt. You know, it's just people. But it had to be tough to walk into those stores cold sometimes.
We did get a young man that came around. He lived down here in the Salem area, and he actually went to the markets and found our beginning markets. And then Merton and I came and did demos, and some of the other ranchers then started doing demos in the markets. But we did a lot of the ordering all ourselves. It came right to us there in Fossil, and we did the ordering, and we set up the delivery and everything.
The first store we went to, do a demo, and Glenda stood behind me all day because it was a real tough store where we were.
Yeah.
I mean, the people were tough, everything was tough, and boy, it was probably not the right place to start, you know, but we started in one that was, they said, well, you're not gonna sell any beef here today probably, but you can do it if you want, and we did, and we were selling beef. Meat manager would come over there to us, or the butcher, and he'd say, my gosh, you know, we sold some of your beef, you know, well, because in that store, they didn't expect it was a cheap store.
Right.
But yet we said, well, we can sell our meat here. Our meat isn't over high priced. It's like all meat. If you just depends on the cut you want, you know.
Well, and the quality.
Yeah.
Because I've been in those stores,
sure.
You know, and they're selling the bottom of the barrel, some of it, because they can buy it for 11 cents a pound. You know, but when the Painted Hills is competitive with everybody else, that's a choice or better beef.
Yeah.
And it's the, I always tell people, and I've got a, you know, I've got a dog in this fight or whatever you want to say, because I've known these folks for a long time and I've worked for them on and off over the years. But I've never found a beef in all my travels all over the world that was consistent and as good as Painted Hills. And you're not paying me to say that. I'm just saying it because it's true. But when you get in some of those cheap ass stores and you know, they're selling stuff for $1.98 a pound and your stuff is $6.98 a pound or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But and I just tell them, go tell you what, you go over there and get one of those and I'll cook it for you right here versus the same cut in Painted Hills and we'll see which one you like. And
people want a good product.
Yeah.
Especially a housewife that has kids and husband, of course, works hard and he comes home and the kids and all, they want a good product for the kids.
Yeah.
You don't want to just buy not very good stuff. You don't know. Because once you get past a branded product, you really don't know what you're getting.
No. No. Will and I used to joke because we, you know, I'd say, well, I was in Safeway the other day and I saw something. He goes, that's dairy cows. Yeah. Those are old dairy cows, you know. And I said, well, I can't even cook them. You know, they make it work good. It just doesn't work out very well.
Well, we're up and down the East Coast a lot, and we have a lot of meat in eating places on the. And of course, what we deal with there is mainly Holstein cattle.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out of the, well, I don't know whatever they call it, Midwest or whatever up high. And so, yeah, they don't really realize the difference between beef cattle and Holsteins at that point.
Well, to them, you know, a steak's a steak. Cow's cow, you know. But once they taste it, it's, you know, it changes the thought process and the taste buds and all that jazz.
Well, the grain's different. The bigger the animal, you know, big, like a Holstein animal, long-grained, and so it's more chewy, you know.
Right.
And so that makes a big difference with the cattle. And we usually mainly use all Angus cattle. Well, very, very little, either some Charley cross in with them.
Yeah, but, you know, people have kind of come to expect that, too, that yeah. Consistency with that. We are going to take a break. We're going to be back with Merton and Glenda Homer from Painted Hills Natural Beef, two old friends and two great people in the cattle business right here on Barbecue Nation.
And a stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5.
Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. BarclaysBuySellPawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, and today we have got Merton and Glenda Homer from Painted Hills Natural Beef with us. If you would like to email us, you can do it at BBQ Nation. That's the letters BBQ and the word nation at salempdx.com. That's salempdx.com. You can also find the shows on SoundCloud. It's Barbecue-Nation with JT. We're setting some new records on that for the downloads. We'll break 100,000 here in the next probably 3 or 4 weeks. Also, say hi to a couple of our affiliates. Besides here on AM 860 The Answer, we'd like to say hi to all of our friends down at KSEY in Seymour, Texas. Stay with us on this. We're having some fun here. How big of a pain in the butt was he doing all this, Glenda? He still is.
A little bit of that. That doesn't change. One of the things I wanted to tell you a while ago when you were talking about us being like on the East Coast and all that, and the consistency and taste and all, how that got started actually was a gentleman that came from the East Coast to around Salem and all buying wines for about 3 years. And every time they would take him to dinner, and every time he'd end up with some Painted Hills Natural Beef. And he called me from Atlanta, Georgia, and he told me at that time, I want to sell your beef. I've been there for 3 years and had dinners with your beef, and I've traveled all over, and you have some of the best beef I've ever tasted. And that's how we've been on, and we've been with him probably 15 or more years.
Does he ship you some wine every once in a while? There's got to be a trade-off in there.
He's a seafood salesman, actually, on the East Coast, and he does wines also, and so that's how it all came about.
Merton, you're going to have to forgive me because I remembered you like salmon, and I know the fresh salmon from Alaska are coming in now, and I drove right by the seafood store where I shopped today. I was going to bring you a filet, but I won't mail it to you. How's that?
Yeah, when we first started, it was tough.
Yeah.
You know, we were doing 5 head a week, or maybe we could. And we had a tough time doing it. And it was, you know, the markets would go and come, and we didn't have enough to really fill up or put me in people's meat case, hardly. Just a piece or two here and there and everywhere. And then people would call up, and your meat, you know, when you do with a little packing house, when you have a lot of leakers because of the cryovac machine isn't good enough. So then they would call you up, you know, and say, well, you got 2 boxes out here, it's leaking. We put them out on the back step and you come get them. Well, we're about 250 miles away from there.
Yeah.
So you say, well, just throw it away because we can't come get it at that point. So it made a real tough time of it because we had such a small amount, and then trying to get it processed and get it everywhere.
I know I was in the spice business for a while, and I still have the recipes and stuff and do it, but it was tough to try to break into the big stores because they had so many obstacles for you to get in. They wanted so many free cases, they wanted so much this, so much that. You had to pay $4,000 or $5,000 a quarter to be on their shelf, and you have to sell a lot of salt to get that. And so it's got to be similar at times, maybe not buying the shelf space, but other requirements for the stores.
Right. They didn't know, you know, it's a higher priced product too sometimes, and so they didn't. And they at that time in the store business, nobody wanted to cut more than one meat.
Right.
In other words, just have the meat back there, we'll cut it, and that's it. That's all I want to do. I don't want to do 2 programs. I don't want to do anything. And that was real tough to get past.
But you hung in there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'll tell you where you have a good, of course, good success, and we did too, and that is with a young meat manager he's willing to do that.
Yes.
You take a meat manager, and I don't mean this against anybody, but he, after 55 years old, he don't want to cut any other meat.
No.
Just what he's doing is fine.
Well, he's looking at the exit door.
Yeah.
You know, and he doesn't want to start something, yeah. And then...
The young guy wants to try something new.
Yeah.
He wants to see if it's going to work or not, and he's willing to do it. And so that's where we actually made some inroads there right off, because they were willing to try.
I actually used to tease people when I was doing demos for you guys. They'd come up and then somebody would say... And normally a lady would say, I'm vegetarian. And I'd say, well, I can cure that. And I'd try to get her. And I remember this one lady, because I did several demos for you in the Salem area. And I think at the Kaiser Roth store back then, I saw this lady each and every time. And the last time I did the demo there for you, and this has been a number of years ago, she came in every time. She said, my doctor says I need more protein. I said, well, here's your answer. And she took a couple pieces of that, and she marched right over to the case and picked up a couple of roasts and a couple of packages of steaks. And we were doing some special that day where they could buy a pre-packaged thing, and the guys would cut it up for you. And I got her to take one of those. And I've never seen her again, but I'm assuming she's still alive. So...
Yeah, you know, people are vegetarian. They say they're vegetarian and all, but they'd like to have some meat. Most of them would like to have some meat, but they just have to tell themselves not to.
Yeah.
And really, I'm not so sure it's such a good thing to go without meat. You know, I'm not sure the body's meant for that.
Well, I can't use mine as a comparison because I have lots of storage on mine, but I'm I think you need some proteins. And
yeah, we've changed a lot of vegetarians. Let's put that.
Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, because at least when they knew where it come from and what's in it and all, that made them a little more comfortable about it.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah. Well, and they got to establish a relationship with you or whoever it was in the store. Yeah, and you talk to them. And I never really had anybody give me a really hard time. I had a couple of people walk by and stick their nose up in the air that were, you know, I don't eat that, and they'd leave. But then here'd come the husband or the wife behind, and they'd kind of reach and get a little taste. You know, that's pretty good. Yeah, take one more for the road. Okay, and off they'd go, you know.
We always laugh because people will let their child taste it first a lot of times.
Yeah.
And if the child likes it, well, then they're set.
They're.
It's really funny because a lot of times they'll have the child be the first taster.
I always thought that the adult was supposed to taste it first.
Yeah.
It's always the other way around. If he falls over, no, I don't want it.
Well, I guess that's a new way to look at things, you know. It's a let the kids go first type thing.
Yeah.
If it was a deal when I grew up, there was no way in hell I was going first. My dad would have been right there, you know, getting that.
You know, we were so surprised. We did a demo one day, and right across from us was candy. And they were giving away candy. And we said, man, we're not going to give one piece of meat away all day. And you know what? We sat there, and we handed meat out to no end, and they never hardly ever give any candy away.
Yeah.
And it has to come from don't take candy from a stranger.
Yep. We are going to take a break, and we're going to be back with Merton and Glenda Homer from Painted Hills Natural Beef, and we're going to talk about the difficulties that you don't see in the beef business of rising prices, rising fuels, those types of things. So we're going to cover that when we come back. It's Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. That's Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033, 503-982-2033. That's Barclays, buysellpawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I almost said my other show's title there. I do that once in a while. We're with Glenda and Merton Homer here today in the studio. Also, I'd like to mention that this part of Barbecue Nation is brought to you by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Go figure. Cooking for your family and friends, Painted Hills is the beef to put on your table. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Don't forget, you can go to Barbecue Nation on SoundCloud. Help us break that 100,000 mark of the downloads a little quicker than we had anticipated. That would be cool. Just go to barbecue/nationJT, and you can find all our shows. There's about 300 of them on there now. Been doing this for a while, a long time. It's tough. Cattle business is tough. I was just telling you before we came back that I had Will on last Christmas, right after Thanksgiving, and he was talking about projecting and having to balance. And you know, when you're doing that, there's things that enter into that equation that you don't know about, like, you know, fuel prices, grain prices. You can't predict what those things are going to do. They can go one way or the other really fast, and that affects your bottom line. Besides just buying the beef, how do you put on your magician's hat and do that?
Well, we don't have a magician's hat, but anyhow, we do. We will, for example, in a month, we will go process or get some cattle, start getting cattle together that actually are delivered in December. Mm-hmm. Let's say 6 and 7 and 8 weights, and they actually won't be processed till next year in June.
Okay, so time out there. What's the 6, 7, or 8 weight for people who don't understand that?
That's feeder calf. The calf grows up, then you gotta feed him and grow him up till he weighs about 800.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you put him on hot feed at that time, and that takes him on another 4 to 5 months. And then you have an animal that you can actually process. He's fat enough. He grades choice for you. And that makes a great experience to see.
I think I'm about prime right now.
Well, you have a lot of prime stew.
Yeah, a lot of stew meat.
Yeah,
like
for some reason, the prime cattle, we're getting more and more Angus cattle into this thing. And they come to a certain point and they just grade like house fire. And so that we're getting more choice, more prime than we ever have at this point. And that's because of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we actually line up cattle, 8 weight yearling cattle, for them to be 6 months, let's say from today, 6 months ahead we are at that. And that way, 5 months after that, I got fat cattle for at that point. So really, we're lining up cattle right now to process in February and March.
So they stay on the ranch till they're about 800.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to the feed yard. And that's when he's talking like the hot weight. And because then they're being fed daily, not just grazing on the fields.
Is that about 120 days at the feed yard?
Yes.
Roughly,
yeah.
Around there?
Yeah, 135.
Yeah.
Takes longer without the hormones or antibiotics, yeah.
I always tell them, and when I do the ads and stuff, I always say there's no hormones, no antibiotics, no styrofoam.
Yeah.
And people, they kind of, you know, snap their head, but I made them look, you know.
No, that's right. They don't understand at that point.
Yeah.
That's right.
What's been the toughest thing about this business for you, Merton? Now, be careful. I'm going to forewarn you because I'm going to ask Glenda the same question, and she gets to go second.
I'll tell you what. The problem with the business is it goes along, and everybody's going along and kind of surviving, you know, and going along. And then all of a sudden you hit a year like 3 years ago, and the price of cattle just dived to no end, you know, dropped 70 to 80 cents. Just about broke two-thirds of the people in the whole business, you know,
yeah.
In the United States. And so it takes you a while to recover back out of that, you know, at that point. But of course, we have. But yeah, that's been real tough.
You ever get discouraged?
Oh, you can't get discouraged. You know, this.
Yeah.
I tell everybody this. When it gets where it's not fun anymore, then I'll quit. But it's still fun. I mean, for me.
He's the one guy I know that's always pretty much got a pretty good smile on his face and going forward.
Yes.
Always one foot in front of the other, and let's go. We'll figure it out. Let's go do it. Yeah. And Will says he's gotten more that way since Will took over the office stuff, and he's out playing around all the time.
Yeah, he's more serious. He tries to keep a lid on everything.
Yeah, he does a good job. What's been the toughest thing for you, Glenda? Because this is your family, too. You've got your husband, your sons, your daughter-in-laws,
yeah.
The people you know in Fossil. You've been in Fossil for years, so you know all these people.
I don't know. To me, of course, when I was working there all the time, the toughest part is your products are so seasonal, too. And that makes it really tough because a lot of times you have products that are, like, say at Christmas, the prime ribs are very popular, but your New York strips are not. So you get a buildup of those. And in the fall, when kids go back to school, what we always laughed is because then people have went out and bought school clothes and spent all this money. Well, then everybody's buying more your chucks and your rounds and that type of product because then you have a buildup of steaks on this end. You have to figure out what to do with. So to me, always finding a home for all the products was the hardest.
That always worked out well for me, though, because when I knew you had those excess ribs and stuff, I'd call Will and he'd send me a box, you know, or something. Yeah. That always worked out pretty good.
Yeah, but as far as home life and all, I mean, it's never easy. The whole family working in a business, I mean, it's not always easy, but at least everybody has their own position and own areas that they work, and so they're not stepping, hopefully, on everybody's toes.
For the first 4 years, we lost $400,000 doing 5-10 head a week. Now, the home life, it makes home life difficult because it's just me and her who are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're not making money, you're trying to figure out how to make it make money. And by gosh, it just almost was impossible. Until we changed and went to a big processing plant, it was impossible. But yeah, that was a tough time. That 4 years was a tough time.
How old were the boys then?
Right at 20.
Oh, okay.
20s.
Okay.
That old? I guess.
So they'd been through school and maybe a little college and that type of thing. And
yeah. Will had, but he wasn't in it. He wasn't doing any of that then. He was county.
He was assessor, assayer, or something.
Assessor then.
Yeah.
Then built furniture and one thing.
Yeah. Huh. Well, that's interesting. I know my family had a business for years, and there were times it was really tough working in the family dynamic. It was tough. It was tough. If it was, you know, like you said, seasonal, Christmas, and things were going great, everything was pretty smooth sailing for most of the time. But when things got a little tight and you had to notch up that belt, or, you know, you couldn't give somebody as many hours or whatever, then things got a little tense at times.
Well, it was. It was tough for us. And the trouble was that we couldn't make money any week. They were all, something was wrong. And it just, but in a small processing plant, you get about $300 a head less than you do in a big processing plant. And so that was the thing that was making the difference, you know?
Was there one thing that just went boom and then you could see it was going to change and roll forward?
When we changed processing
plant. That was it.
We went to the big one. And we went there and they said, well, we can't process less than 60 head. And we said, my gosh, we can't even sell 40 a month. How in the hell are we going to sell 60?
Yeah.
And they said, well, I don't care. That's the least we'll do. And so we got in the car and we left and we went seeing stores. And we got enough stores lined up to actually use up to 60 for that month. So we didn't lose as much money. So we said, we got to try this again. So we did it again, you know, and next month was a little better. And things started to get together a little more, and then all of a sudden, it went to growing, didn't it? It went from 60 to 80, you know, not too long, and then went to 120, so it was starting to grow.
We went to Seattle and around, and that made us spread out, because we were basically just Oregon, and so it helped us to start looking bigger and spreading out more.
Appearance is a lot.
Yeah.
It really is. When you're presenting products and stuff, if you can say, you know, we're not just in Oregon, we're in Washington, we're in California, we're in Arizona, whatever, it doesn't matter. You give that appearance of, you know, more coverage, so to speak.
You're starting to get enough beef that it's starting to make some that you can cover your what's being asked of you.
Yeah.
Now you got enough beef, you can actually do that.
That's a good thing. Real quick, we got about a minute before we can go to break. How many cattle are you going through now?
600 a week.
A week.
Yeah.
That's a big jump from 40 a month.
That's a big jump.
That's a big jump. Oh, my God. I don't think people can fathom how much meat that is. And by comparison with somebody like Tyson, That's not a lot.
Just the end of a pin. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that. Anyway, we are going to take a break. We're going to be back with Glenda and Merton Homer from Painted Hills Natural Beef, the founders, right after this. Don't go away. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. BarclaysBuySellPawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, and thank you for listening. This is our first inaugural show on the new Envision Network, where Barbecue Nation has gone to 2 hours. I'm not going to hold you guys for 2 hours today, but we're doing that, and we're going to be welcoming new stations all across the country. So we thank you for listening for that, and thanks Envision Networks for their work. Was there anything you'd change that you've done? Any regrets?
No,
Nothing like that?
No, I would.
Yeah.
I'd still be doing the same thing.
What about you?
Ranching and having a beef company.
There you go.
I don't think so. I mean, it's been a lot of hard work and tense on at times, but I think it's been well worth it. We seem to be very happy. Our family seems to be happy, and it's brought better. More prosperity to a few ranchers.
Yes.
By doing this, and we try to give some of that prosperity back to our ranchers that we buy product from too, because we have, you know, they get a little more sometimes out of their product, but
it actually raises a lot of dollars for the rancher. The natural beef brings about 10 cents more a pound alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if, just like with us, so we use about 25,000 a year. So that's a lot of money.
Yeah. No, that works out great.
And then not saying that the cow that I did buy, I bid on or something to the people and didn't buy or whatever, they still brought more money to them too.
Yeah.
You know, so we've actually helped the cattle industry a lot.
Do you do the satellite auctions?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a dumb question for me, because I know you do. I've sat with you when you did it.
No, the reason we do some of that is we need 2,000 head or 23,000 head a month. Well, that way we can actually fill those months. You know, we don't fill all of them because we use cattle around us and all too, but that actually gives us a backbone to fill some of those slots. It gives us that ability. Without the video or without the cattle that way, boy, it'd be a lot of running and there'd be a lot of holes that you couldn't fill.
Well, a lot of the ranchers that he knows and deals with anyway, they put their cattle on there to try to get their best price.
Sure.
And so he still gets cattle from the people he would normally get from, but they get a little better price sometimes by putting them on the satellite auctions.
Yeah, they don't want to put them on feed. They don't want to take that risk. It is a risk. And so they don't want to take that risk. So they want you to take that risk.
Now, do you know when you're buying these cattle from people that they've adhered to your,
absolutely,
you know,
they
your
sign an affidavit?
Yeah, your program.
And you know, in the cattle industry, of course, one rancher knows what the other rancher's doing. You know, so as far as people looking over everybody's shoulder, everybody else knows what everybody else is. They actually know the ones that don't. Aren't going to be right up front, you know, and, all.
Right.
And we do too. Just kind of, we're an industry that tells on each other, of course.
Well, you learn that in any business you're in. You learn that. I mean, we know that in the radio business or the TV business.
Sure.
You know, who's good and who's maybe.
Yeah.
Not they're not bad, they're just different.
Sure. But the way I look at it, you're innocent until you're proven guilty.
Yeah.
And so they sign an affidavit on all the cattle, and we kind of know that what their cattle are. And so that's the cattle we deal with. We usually deal with the cattle not too far away from us. You know, we know everybody in actually central and eastern Oregon, you know, and up in Washington. So, I mean, everybody knows everybody.
Sure.
Affidavits are approved by the federal government, and we have to keep them on file. For 3 years at least, even after the product. And so they're always kept on file there. and all the ranchers have to sign an affidavit.
Well, that's good.
We've never had a problem, and our cattle at the feed yard at the kill plant get tested every bunch of goes. So, I mean, and we haven't had a problem. So that's pretty damn good record, actually.
Yeah, it is. It's a very, very good record. Real quick, we've got about a minute here. We're going to do after hours with Merton and Glenda. And anything you'd like to see changed in the industry, real quick, Glenda?
The one thing I would like to see is the federal government not letting any product that is processed can be called natural, any beef product.
Right.
But they can't label it no hormone, no antibiotic without going through the process we've had to do with federal labeling laws. But it's very deceiving to the consumer, as far as I'm concerned, that any grocery store can go out here and buy a product and put it natural on a label. But it doesn't mean it's not had hormones or antibiotics. But if the consumer doesn't know that, it's kind of deceiving to the consumer, as well. The way I see it.
We're going to wrap this up, and we're going to keep them over for the after hours, which is something I didn't tell you two about, but you'll have fun with it. This also wraps up our first hour of our new doubleheader show here on Barbecue Nation. So stick around. We've got Vic Clevenger, the cooking comedian. I was going to say cooking cowboy, and I thought, hell, that's me. He's the cooking comedian coming up in hour two on Barbecue Nation. So stick around. We'll be back.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Envision Networks and Salem Media Group. All rights reserved. Copyright 2019.